We have the mayor of Elyria with us, Holly Brenda, who's probably responsible for changing all the clocks at City Hall to make sure everybody gets there to the meeting on time, I suppose, or at least.
Well, we made sure the ones in the mayor's office were changed anyway.
That's good.
Well, you know, let's start with this. Today it's a nice day. Yesterday was beautiful. Tomorrow we might have more snow. We've heard all of these reports about different communities running out of salt and cinders or whatever they use. Mm-hmm. What's it like in Elyria?
We're okay right now. We're hoping that we don't get bombarded, but the bottom line is we've got enough salt to get us through. So we prefer it to stay the way it is today, obviously. But
have you run into a lot of overtime, though, because of all of the storms or people working on Sundays?
You know, we have, and it's unavoidable because it really is a safety issue for our community. So we want to make sure that, you know, obviously the main thoroughfares get treated first, along with the intersections and then the secondary streets. But it's just been such a treacherous winter, and we've done our best. It's not only the streets, but the entire infrastructure has really taken a beating. I know just in the month of January, we had 50 water line breaks. And if you think you're having a bad day, be a member of the water distribution crew in the city of Elyria, because, it was polar vortex weather, sub-zero, and those guys are out there, and you have to fix the water line breaks in the city. And, Elyria wasn't the only one, but like many older communities, we've got an older infrastructure. And while we're taking lots of steps to improve those water lines, when you have really severe cold weather like that, you're going to have situations, unfortunately, that come up like that. So,
well, there was even times where you had to kind of help out the citizens in the community because of issues with the gas or heat or something like that too. So
right, it's fortunately Elyria is a very caring community, and we saw the weather really take a toll not only on people just going through their everyday lives, but unfortunately we have some people who didn't have shelter, and so our faith-based community came together along with others, and we were able to provide emergency shelter for citizens in our community, and very grateful for those individuals who stepped forward. St. Mary's was a great partner with us in that initiative as well. So hopefully we won't have another one of those situations. It's warming up a little bit. So, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, you gave your state of the city.
Yes, I did.
And perhaps you could give us a highlight or two about the state of the city and what we can look forward to in the coming year.
Sure. Well, we're sitting in this wonderful diner that's been redeveloped, and we're so thrilled to see some new life here, and we're going to be seeing some new life in the entire Midway area. As you know, we were able to leverage $28 million to be able to reconfigure the Route 57 49th Street Bridge, and that project will begin this spring and be completed in 2016, but that will widen Griswold Road, widen Route 57, eliminate the 49th Street Bridge, and really do a number of things that we think will help the whole area. Not only will it remedy a high crash area, but it will open up this whole area, not only for future development, but make it so much more accessible to people. It's very hard to navigate over that bridge, especially if you're coming through or off of I-90 or the Turnpike, and so we're very hopeful, and we see a lot of speculation, actually, already. There's some property being purchased, and our new Hampton Inn over here is booming. So those are all very positive signs. We're working with the business groups to create a merchants association here in the Midway area, and we're hoping it's really just the beginning. And these are just a few of the infrastructure improvements. We've opened up our new Ford Road Bridge this year, and in this coming year, people are going to see lots more barrels. We were able to make improvements to 12 residential streets, Lake Avenue. There was a paving project on West River, but in the coming year, we'll see an entire reconfiguration of Middle Avenue. That starts this spring, and we'll be replacing all of Middle Avenue from the stadium all the way up to Broad Street. And so that project's about to begin. So there'll be a few inconveniences, but it's one of those things that we think is going to be a major infrastructure improvement, not only to our residential neighborhoods leading into downtown and a key entrance, but also to downtown itself. Downtown, we'll see some improvements. We are working with a national restaurant chain, and you'll see the buildings between Muni Court and Wigland be demolished this spring. Those are some of the most challenged real estate properties on Broad Street. So while we value our historic properties, we also know that we need to do something about those other properties. So in the following year, in the spring of 2015, you'll see a building project there. Mm. So major improvement on Broad Street coming.
That's bad news for us, Craig, though.
Well, maybe not.
Because we have a window that kind of looks there, and anytime there's building projects going on with, you know,
we just stand and stare.
People come and watch bulldozers and graders and trucks. It's like a Bob the Builder scene that people watch out the window. So it's kind of distracting for us from that regard as well.
Yeah.
But it's good to see, you know, different things happen. And sometimes you expect something to always be there or be there, but you realize over time, if you look at history pictures, buildings come and go, businesses come and go, and it just depends on what the opportunities are there for the people currently there. So.
You know, it does, and, you know, there's lots of other projects that aren't quite as exciting, but they're necessary. And, you know, we talked about those waterline breaks, but we're doing a lot of sewer and waterline improvement projects. So there's some major projects coming on Furnace Street, in the St. Jude's area, in Eastern Heights. So some minor inconveniences, but some major infrastructure improvements that are really needed that are going to help our residents as well.
Look at this part here at the Midway Mall you talked about. I was, saw they're working already on Griswold with some of that widening, the construction they have over there. But you'd think because there's a turnpike, because there's a highway interchange there, this area maybe, I think, should have more than what's really here, it seems, because of the opportunities, the easy access for this area.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess with this change, it's going to make it even that much easier.
Well, it's not the silver bullet, but it's one of many changes that need to happen, and there's only promise. I mean, one of the things that we are doing is we've been able to get a grant for a $93,000 market analysis project, and we're going to be doing a market analysis of all of our business districts in Elyria, both downtown, the Midway area, and Cleveland Street, and that's really going to tell us hopefully what the right mix of business and residential use is. So we know the key to get more feet in the Midway area and more people in the downtown area is having more people live in this area, more people work in this area, more people go to entertainment, dining in the area. So we just have to figure out what the right strategy is. And fortunately, we've got a study that's going to be moving forward that will, you know, create sort of a framework for us. We'll be sharing that information with the business community and talking with them. And none of these things happen overnight. They take time. And we're trying to take the right steps to position Elyria for success because there's just so much promise here.
Yep. We look at today's Chronicle Telegram. I don't know if you've seen it yet. You're on the front page, by the way.
I saw that. Yes,
right.
I did.
So I do want to ask about the focus there.
Sure.
You know, some people may know that a city, any city, doesn't matter, has a law director.
Right.
But then they might want to know, they might ask, well, why do you then, whether it's you or anybody's administration, seek outside counsel at times?
Sure.
Why? How does that work?
Well, the way it works by law is it's a division of power. Elyria is a charter city, and the charter designates that there is a law director that represents council and represents, you know, the interests of the city as it relates to council. And then there's the mayor, and the mayor is instructed to have a separate legal counsel. And so all the mayors have had separate legal counsels, including myself. And in the charter, it designates that the mayor is to appoint the legal counsel for the negotiations process. And the city of Elyria, it does have 6 unions. We do enter into negotiations periodically. This year, we will be entering into negotiations with 4 of our 6 unions. And so, you know, over time, you know, the city of Elyria, it certainly depends on legal expertise for those negotiations process. says if you look back over a 10 to 12 year history, that's the way it's been done for many years. It's, you know, the law is very complex, and it's gotten even more complex. And there's, you know, Elyria is a very large, it's a relatively large city. We've got a $108 million budget, a $28 million general fund budget, about 460 employees. So there's a lot of things to address that require legal counsel.
When you look at those negotiations coming up, let's talk, I guess, a little bit about the city's financial condition as you head into those negotiations. Where do you stand?
Well, it's really important to have good negotiators, obviously, because we want to offer our employees, you know, equitable, fair employment opportunities, and we work very hard with them to do that. But, you know, we also know that Elyria is trying to operate more with less, and we have taken steps over time with the voluntary performance audit that was released this past May to identify areas where we could save. And many of those items have to be negotiated. The city cannot just go in and change collective bargaining agreements to save the city money. Those are things that we have to be able to negotiate with our employee group. So again, a need for that negotiations process. But so far we've done well. We've, since the audit was released last year, in combination last year and this year, we've saved about $1.8 million. Unfortunately, the state of Ohio has cut us by about $1.8 million between the repeal of the estate tax and the decline of the local government fund. That makes us about even, but we continue to execute some of those recommendations in the performance audit, and we work really well with our employee groups, and you know, the good news is they are working with us. They understand that, you know, everybody is operating in more frugal times, and we have a good working relationship, so I think it's promising as we move forward.
One other thing I wanted to ask about too, the Lorain County Transportation Hub and the future use of that. And the city, of course, has a role in that.
Right.
What might we see?
Well, I think we're going to see something very positive, and on a number of levels. You know, the county commissioners have made a significant investment in improving that transportation hub, and we think that's wonderful, but we would like to see it used for more transportation, and the only way to do that is to leverage funds to be able to return different types of transportation there. So right now it's being used in part with, it is a Greyhound bus stop, and it is a stop for Lorain County Transit. But in the future, we have been working through the Northeast Ohio Area Coordinating Agency, and we're working in partnership with the county and the communities of Toledo, Sandusky, Elyria, and Cleveland. And there's some new federal money available that we hope to apply for. Those conversations are taking place right now. But there is rail money available, and we'd like to be able to return passenger rail to downtown Elyria at our transportation and community center. Right now, as you know, Amtrak does stop in Elyria, but it's a relatively primitive stop, and even Amtrak would describe it that way. And Amtrak would very much like to relocate at the transportation center and actually increase its routing. You know, the Lakeshore route runs from Chicago to the East Coast, and we also travel to Washington from here. So it's a busy rail line, and in fact, most people don't realize, but since 2008, the Elyria stop has seen a 91% increase without even trying of Amtrak. And some other things are positioning Elyria well for some growth as it relates to passenger rail. There's a lot of mergers with airlines. The cost of flying has risen. And all these things have contributed, I think, to more people taking rail. So we do believe that this corridor that we're trying to create, we're calling it a transportation corridor project because it involves major cities on the north coast of Ohio, will have a very good shot at this money because we're doing it in collaboration with one another. And we know we can make more of an impact, and we have more likelihood of funding. The average funding for this federal money is about $9.1 million per community. So that would be 9.1 times the four communities. And it really would pay to, we have two rail dilemmas here or challenges in Elyria. We not only have to rebuild the passenger rail platforms because of a number of different issues, but we also have to make it so that both freight trains and passenger trains can operate at the same time. And that's a requirement that Norfolk Southern have. So it does escalate the cost of doing the project, but this federal money may make it possible. When we started, that wasn't a requirement. We thought that the cost of rebuilding the rail platforms would be between $5 and $6 million. And then when Norfolk Southern made this a requirement, it escalated it to between 9 and 10. Well, there's $9.1 million available through this project. So we are going to be, I know that the county who owns the project will actually have to be certainly a driver on this, but the city of Elyria is prepared to support the project as well.
One other thing before I give it back to Bruce.
Okay.
All right, one more.
Really?
Yeah.
We started
more
with bulldozers. We almost ended with trains. I thought it was the perfect bookend for that.
Could I add one thing?
I
can't help it.
No.
It's not a silver bullet for downtown Elyria, but it's one of many things we're trying to do. Yeah. You know, returning passenger rail to downtown can't help but create a little bit more of a demand in foot traffic. We're also trying to do some other things as well in terms of our mixed-use strategy. We have a new partnership with the Urban Land Institute, which is a group of developers out of Cuyahoga County, and they've been basically touring all of our vacant buildings downtown. And we've got some projects that we're trying to advance, one of which is pretty exciting. We think it could be a key retail and entertainment anchor for downtown. And hopefully in the next few months, we'll have something positive to announce. But the good news is we're getting foot traffic in those vacant buildings that we never had before. So there is interest. And people are just astonished when they come into our community. They can't believe how beautiful our town square is. I mean, when you live here, you kind of take it for granted. But we have one of the few town squares built in the Western Reserve, you know, in the 1800s that is still intact. Elyria, when it was designed, was built around a river. And you don't get properties built around a river with a town square like we do. So people come into our community and they say, oh my gosh, you've got two waterfalls near your downtown. You've got this beautiful town square. You've still got these historic buildings that have great bones. They're great anchors for your community. And, you know, you've got the historic courthouse that was built by the architect who built the capital of Texas. You know, I mean, communities don't have this stuff. And so, you know, it's refreshing. Sometimes you forget those things.
Yeah.
But
Bruce and I often talk. We joke about this. Sometimes we'll have newsmakers like yourself in, and we'll have conversations, and then the guest will go on his or her way. And then about 2 hours later, there'll be some, like, breaking news announcement from that newsmaker who didn't tell us about it. So, do you have anything to break right here on this program this morning?
I do.
Okay.
Sort of.
All right.
On Friday at 2 o'clock, we will be having a press conference at City Hall. And, you know, the deadline to sign up for the Affordable Care Act health insurance is coming up on March 31st. And we will have representatives from the federal government. They have chosen the city of Elyria as a place to encourage people to apply. We'll be having some enrollment activities to announce that day, and they're going to be talking about new numbers that they've received as it relates to the number of people who've enrolled in health care, and making some encouraging news about how to encourage people to enroll for health care. So we're happy to be the site. We do make it a point to participate. The White House offers an opportunity for us to participate in conference calls with them. And when there are strategic issues like health care, they will invite some mayors from across the country. So we always make sure that we participate in those. And when you do that, there are some benefits to it. So having some federal presence here in the city of Elyria and enrollment opportunities for people, we hope they'll take advantage of it. And it kind of helps put Elyria on the radar screen.
That's good. I know. And they've had a lot of the different health departments try to have some of those sign-ups as well. And
right.
As the deadline approaches, right? We're getting closer to that. Everything heats up with the information out there for people to sign up for that.
And by the way, there is information on the city's website. So if you go to www.cityofilyria.org and click on the icon for healthcare enrollment, you can get lots more information.
Sounds good. Mayor of Elyria, Holly Brenda, thank you for coming in and sharing all the great details with us and information as well.